Not good enough, I'm afraid, Caleb said. Merlin and Charlian looked at him, and he shrugged. Edward's estimate is the number of shells he can deliver 8 5-days from now. But by that time, they'll be halfway across the Markovian Sea, and ships sailing from Old Karas at that point won't possibly be able to intercept them before they're into the Taro Channel. We might be able to catch them at the southern end of the channel before they cross the Gulf of Matthias, but we'll never stop them from getting into Thole Bay if they decide to do that. And to be honest, even the chance of intercepting them in the gulfs probably no better than even. We could load them aboard transports and deliver them at sea, Lock Island said. We could try, Caleb conceded, but we'd run the risk of getting caught by the other side while we were doing it. For that matter, just to get transport galleons to the northern end of the Taro Channel would take a good 4 5-days, Brian, which means Edward would lose 4 of the 8 5-days he's planning on. And according to my numbers, that would cost 6,000 or so of his total. Maybe we don't have any choice but for me to go call on Admiral Niles the way I did on your father before Darko Sound, Merlin said unhappily. Forget it, Caleb shook his head. Father was already at sea against an opponent he knew about. Not only that, but it was reasonable, if risky, for him to adopt the strategy he did, given that he knew I was going to be headed back from Armageddon Reef as quickly as I could. But Cody and his entire fleet are headed towards Chisholm to confront a threat there. There is absolutely no logical, reasonable argument he could use to turn the fleet around against his existing orders, even if we were lucky enough for him to take the truth in stride. I think it's probable he would, as a matter of fact, but that doesn't change the fact that if we turn him around without a good solid reason everyone can grasp, no explanation short of demonic or angelic intervention could explain to anyone else, including his own officers and men, why we did it. He was right, Merlin realized. All right, Lock Island said. You're right, Your Majesty. We can't turn Cody around, and we don't have 8 5-days to produce shells and ship them to the fleet. So, the way I see it, we only have one real option. We have an option, really? The humor in Caleb's voice was biting, but genuine, and the High Admiral chuckled harshly. I didn't say it was a good option, he pointed out. All right, in that case, tell us about this not-so-good option. The way I see it, we're going to have to take the pressure off the Desnarians. I don't want to do that, and if anyone can think of any way we can encourage them to stay home, despite Maguire's direct orders to sortie, I'll be delighted to hear about it. In the meantime, though, it'll be up to me to sail north. I doubt they're going to just turn around and head home when they see my topsails. But knowing I'm in the area, and not knowing how much of our strength we've sent off to Chisholm in response to their disinformation, they'll have to regard me as a potentially significant threat, at least initially. I'll take enough schooners with me to keep them under close observation, try to make them nervous. With a bit of luck, I should at least be able to instill enough caution to slow them down. On the other hand, if they're feeling frisky and adventurous, I may even be able to tempt them, or some of them at any rate, into chasing me and draw them off. And this will achieve exactly what? Caleb asked, although his tone suggested he was already following his cousin's thinking. While I'm doing that, Dominic will sail for home. We'll be in touch by comm, and we'll both know where the church fleet is. He'll load however many shells Edward's been able to manufacture before he has to pull out. Then, assuming the other side stayed concentrated and I'm still shadowing them, he'll sail to rendezvous with me. If they've divided and sent some of them to pursue me, he'll ignore them and go for the main fleet. He'll be badly outnumbered. Hell, for that matter, we'll be badly outnumbered if both our forces manage to rendezvous before the battle. But he should have at least a few thousand shells in his lockers. If he does, and if we catch them at sea, and if the shells work out as well in practice as Alfred's tests suggest, And if the other side panics when it realizes what we're doing to it, we may manage to turn them back. You do remember how often Father pointed out that a flag officer who builds his strategy based on the assumption that all of it will work the way he expects it to is an idiot, don't you, Brian?
Of course I do. And if I had a choice, I wouldn't be suggesting anything of the sort this time either.
Unfortunately, I don't think we do have a choice.
Brian's right, Your Majesty, Rockpoint said. God only knows how we're going to convince the Desnarians to stay home, or at least make them hesitant enough to let us deal with the Northern Fleet first. But this is the only approach I see which could work, no matter how many things may go wrong with it. And there's this too, I'm afraid. As long as we can avoid a close action that ends up doing to us what Thirsk did to Gwilym, we're no worse off if this doesn't work than we would be if we didn't try to do anything about it at all.
And if you don't have enough shells, and if they don't work the way we expect them to, then just how the hell do you plan to avoid that? Caleb demanded.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but my powerful intellect suggests to me that to get into your range of them, you have to come into their range of you.
Which means the only way you're going to find out you don't have enough shells, or that they don't work the way we expected them to, is going to put you into exactly that sort of an engagement.
That may be what happens, Lock Island said quietly. If it does, though, then it does. And you'll still have 2/3 of the Navy to come back and do something about it.